Welcome to the Rice Memorial Missionary Baptist Church podcast. This is a production of Rice Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, where Apostle Walter F. Camp is the senior pastor. This ministry is dedicated to the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, to the end that we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and faithfully walk in the maturity demonstrated by Christ as commanded in Scripture. Make sure you like, subscribe, and hit your notification button to get new messages on a regular basis. Enjoy this message and please study along with us.
Midst of our brothers and sisters to be able to worship together and pray to our Father together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just want to kind of look back over a few things where God had me dealing with last week and dealing with out of the book of Deuteronomy. I'm going to go this morning, not out of Deuteronomy, but I'm going to start in the book of Exodus 19, dealing with a few things there. Exodus 19, you know, we are know how this was the time where the children of Israel had been delivered out of Egypt, and you know God is trying to show them His love by what He's doing for them, and you know it's kind of how we are sometimes. We have a tendency of forgetting what God has done for us and what He will continue to do for us, and you know we know that's the mindset of what the enemy is trying to trap us and get us off course and off sync of what God is going to do and what He is doing. And so, you know, we have to, that's why it's so important to always remember the testimonies of God. Look back at His testimonies. And, you know, I'm sure each and every one of us can draw some testimonies from what God has done and what God has said about you. Amen? Amen. Father, we do, let's pray. Father, we do thank You and love You and praise You and give You the glory for what You've done and what You will do and what You said that You are doing Your word, Father. We know that to opening up Your word and to making plain of it, it will give it light, Father. And we're after the light and the truth of You and what You're all about it and the significance of Your truth, Father, and knowing that what You will and will not do. And Father, we know that You love us. You love us so much that You sent Your Son, Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died in our stead, so that we may have life and may have life more abundantly. And not only having life, but having a prosperous life, a productive life, Father, a joyous life, a life full of pleasure, Father. And we just thank You so much for what You're going to do and what You have done over the past year of my life. And we love You. We give You the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And let the church say, amen. Amen. Let's go back and look at some things in the book of Exodus. You know, this is the time when the children of Israel had come out of Egypt. And, you know, when you think about it, you can go all over the scriptures. You can go in Numbers, you can look in the book of Numbers, look in the book of Exodus and book of Deuteronomy, just everywhere where you see the stiff-neckedness and the rowdiness of these people not wanting to obey. And you know, I can think back in times of my life where I was a stiff-necked person, didn't want to obey, didn't want to do right. Regardless of what God has done and what He continued to do, I just wasn't doing right. Until I made my mind up and I started recognizing what God has been doing and what He had and the intentions for my life. And so, you know, you see back and see that their hearts, and you know, I recapped a little bit from last week, thinking about how what God had done things of showing His power and showing who He is and what He will do and what He can do, and standing up for us and standing up for the children of Israel and showing how much He loved them and what He wanted to do for them. Yes, thanks, Kenneth. And so, you know, you think about those things, not only from reading, this is the thing that captivates my mind, where I'm just reading and seeing the things that God had done for them in that time. Now, mind you, they lived this out. They saw it. You know, they didn't just read about it. They lived it. This is the actual people that lived this thing out. To go and say that where I call for a deliverer to call, Father, you know, help me. You know, I'm tired of this rough taskmaster and going through this rough time of life. And, you know, it puts so much hard work on us. And so God honored that request because he said that he loved them. He wanted to do for them. He said he was going to do it. And then when he see that from all of the things that the different plagues that he brought up on Egypt, the power of God moving the children of Israel through the Red Sea, crossing the sea, all of these different things, to see it, actually see it, and then still rebel? Now, I've done some rebelling, but I think if I saw stuff like that, T, I ain't going to rebel on that. You know, and like I told you last week, not the part in the sea, but you part that river out there, the Arkansas River or Laker, that's going to get my attention. We're talking about the sublime of God, the authority and the power of God moving where we see that and then rebel. And so, you know, I can see God's heart as I start meditating those things the other day in my office. I was seeing the heart of God and how he felt when he done so much. Can you just think about the heart of God, how he feel when he do so much for you and then you reject him? Or you don't submit to him. Or you walk in disobedience to him. Man, I saw the heart of God, how he felt when he was doing all these different things. And yet and still, what am I going to do with these? He's telling them, what am I going to do with these people? These jokers is hard-headed. They don't want to do nothing. I tell them, all I've ever done for them, I continue to do for them. Every time they back up against the wall, I survive. I show them salvation. I help them. I demonstrate my love toward them. And this is the thanks I get. You know, we like this sometimes when our children, anyway, you know, when we feel that they are walking in disobedience to us, and when they hurt our hearts a little bit, when we've done so much for them and cared for them over the years, you know, you think about how that would hurt you when they don't love you or disrespect you or disregard what you have to say to them or don't trust you. Can you just see the heart of God when they done these things to him? Amen. Turn with me to the book of Exodus 19. He said in Exodus 19, first verse, he said, in the third month, when the children of Israel was gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sin. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountains, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. He said, you have seen, you witnessed, you've literally seen. This ain't something that you've been told. But you have seen what I did unto Egypt, and how I bear you, and how I supported and sustained you on eagle wing, then brought you up unto myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey me, obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar people. You'll be a special treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. All that that God requires of me, they said, I will do. But we found out from looking in scripture that that wasn't true. They didn't do that, did they? They rebelled even the more. In the midst of all of the things that he demonstrated for him, he said, you are a special treasure to me. He said, you are a special people. And I know that just us as Christians, we are a special people to God. That's why when things come up against us, we shouldn't fret. That's why the scripture was written, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. That's why all these things were written for our learning. God said that we are a special people to him. We shouldn't be worried about anything. We shouldn't be concerned about what's going on around us. Yes, be watchful. Yes, pay attention. Like I told you this morning, I pay attention to what's going on, but I don't worry about it. I pay attention to that, my circumstances, my atmosphere. I pay attention to everything that's going around me, but I don't worry about it. I don't get myself in a state of fright because I understand when God moved today, he going to move tomorrow as well for me. You know, the testimony of God, like I always say, I draw from the testimony of the Lord. He done it once, he'll do it again. Why? Because he loved me. I'm his child. I'm walking in obedience to him. If I'm doing what he required for me to do, then he got to do his part. So, you know, when you think about the children of Israel, when he was going through this thing, Moses was dealing with the children of Israel. And all of the drama that was going on all the time. First of all, when he come down, he did all the plagues before him. No, first of all, let's go back to this point. First point, when they asked to be delivered. Now, I asked for something. Then when it happened, now I'm complaining about it. That don't make no sense to me. You know, I always told y'all, I ain't the smartest person in the world, but I ain't the dumbest either. You know, you ask for something, then it come to pass and it happened, then you complain about it. You know, so he come here and he done all these plagues for him and showing him his power, the power of God. You know, God showed that same power today. You know, I look at my baby over here. She don't like me to call her baby, but that's the baby. You know, when we talk about Tooks, you know, her baby. Well, God is doing some things in his body right now. You know, Laura was talking to me about that the other day, about, you know, you just got to stay in faith. Keep believing. Not believe, but keep believing. You know, sometimes people want to believe, but they don't want to continue to believe. You got to keep believing. Not just believing, but you got to keep standing on what God has said is true. You don't stand just a little while, you stand forever. You stand until you can't stand. You keep on standing, trusting what God said he will do. And then you look back at the thing that he has done and you draw, well, Lord, I remember when I had this situation. You brought me through that. And I remember when I had that situation. You brought me through that as well. So why would I not trust you to bring me through this situation? Amen. It's a simple process. You know, the enemy want to distract our mind and keep us thinking that it's not simple, but it is. He want to overwhelm you with problems, with situations. You know, we all have problems in life. That's just a part of life. Things going to happen. You know, you get yourself and humble yourself and see, well, how do I fix this problem? What I need to do, you know, and make it work. Work the situation out. You don't fret because of it and get all bombarded. And can't sleep, because I'm going to tell you, I sleep good at night. I sleep real good at night. Lord, I tell you, I can call them. I sleep good at night. I don't sleep good at night because I don't have problems. I sleep good at night because I know I'm not going to let the problem overwhelm me. I sleep good at night because God going to give me a solution to the problem that I need to deal with. Never fail me yet. It's all kind of challenges that we run into all the time, especially in business. Jobs, we run into a new system I've never seen before. What's this lemon system we just put up? Never seen it. God gave us the wisdom, put it up, got it done, walked away from it. Do what we got to do. What do you do? Go read about it. Well, I think some people have got this fictitious thing in their mind of saying, well, you know, I ain't never seen this before. I don't know what to do. So, Lord, abracadabra. You know.
That's how they want it.
That's how they want it. A lot of people want that. You know, not realize that it's something that we have to do. We got a part that we have to play.
Amen.
You know, something we have to do. We can't just sit there dormant and not do anything. We got to do something.
Amen.
So I always look for the solution and what I need to do. And this is what God, that was so frustrated Moses and frustrated God and saying, you know, what is wrong with these people? Man, did they not just see what I just did? Did they not realize they didn't have nothing to eat and I fed them? Did you not see that water come out of that rock? Come, did you not see that? Could you do that? They missed all of this. And yet and still, when you thirst again, you start rebelling. Well, don't you realize he made the water come out of the rock once? He can make it come out twice if he chooses to. He can make it come out as many times as he desires to. But he's trying to prove a point to them. You know, sometimes we have to get the points proved to us.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we want everything instantly. We live in a sense like an instant world nowadays, you know. Everything is so instant. You know, you throw anything in the microwave and you come out with a steak dinner and potatoes and corn and everything under one setting, that instant thing. Some things just takes time.
Most things.
Yeah, I stand corrected. Most things take time. You know, I was reminded of, and you know, we've been talking so much about the different giftings and so on, and talking about wisdom and all of those different things. And I was just reminded just a minute ago, well, the Lord had showed me things over 25, 26 years ago. And I remember one of the first things God showed me when I was 24 years old. He said, you're going to build you a house. Told me that. Woke up in the bed at night. Woke honey up. I said, honey, God said, I'm going to build me a house, didn't I? He said, you're going to build a house. Told me that. Didn't know nothing about this stuff we're talking about now, B. Sure wasn't no preacher. And wasn't going to do no, my desire wasn't going to preach. Didn't want to do no preaching. But that wasn't my choice, was it? God called you. So I know God showed me what, showed me my home. The very home I'm living in now, I've been living there for 34 years. The exact home that I built, God showed it to me. He even painted the picture for me. In my mind, he painted it for me. And as he painted the picture, I sketched it. I sketched every square inch of my home. The very home I'm living in right now, I sketched it how I want it. And I was just thinking about what God had showed me way back then, the direction he was giving me for my life. He was showing me different things. That build this home. How am I gonna build a home? You know, now I'm talking to God. I'm questioning God. Now, I'm 24 years old. I ain't got no money to do it. You know, yeah. Credit bad. I mean, it don't make sense to me. You know what I'm saying? What might not make sense to us makes sense to God, though. But see, I'm looking at, hey, man, you got to have money to build a house. You got to have good credit. Now, I had some skills because I'm in construction. You got that part. But the moolah is what was missing. So anyway, I'm seeing what I need to do. And God started directing. Started showing. Start doing this. First thing he said, pay your debts off. Remember that, baby? Kill your debts. I was killing them left and right. Paying them. Because I start traveling and making good money, and I'm just paying the debts. And he said, start putting back money. Start putting back money. You know, I ain't had the kind of money to build no house, but I'm putting back money, getting a little nest egg, a security. Then he, I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm gonna stay here for now. So anyway, he sent this guy to me that I work with. I was subcontracting work from when I was just starting to try to get into business. I had just started trying to start my own company. And this white guy, a hippie looking person, Monty Hobbs. Remember Monty? Monty and Patty. Preacher. He was a preacher. Hippie preacher, but the preacher. Boy, and he called me one day, he said, and he took a liking to me. Sometimes, you know, when you carry yourself around people a certain way and they see your spirit, they see what type of person you are, then they're going to ledge for you. They go out and help you. And he called me over one day and he said, "Don't you want to build your home?" Now, God had already showed my home. Now, he come here and call me and say, "Don't you want to build your house?" So, you know, kind of like Walter, "By the way, how did you know that?" You know, "Yeah, I want to build a house. 24 years old now, I ain't got no money. I don't know how this going to happen, but I'm going to get this house built." He called me. He said, "Come over to my house, and I'm going to have the banker come over. And I want you here, and I want you to talk with him, and we're going to get you a house built." All right. Come over there and met that banker. It was me, Steve, and it was about four of us, wasn't it? I was there, three white guys, and I'm the only black guy. I said, "This doc finna get up in here and get him a house." So I got up in there, and we sat there and went over and started talking about business. And I don't know if you guys remember Madison Bank. It used to be on Main Street. That was my first loan, was through Madison Bank. And the lady looked at me like, "Shoot, this joker ain't got no money. How you going to build a house?" I mean, I know what she was thinking. See, I from looking at what we started to study now, I didn't understand what I was seeing and what was going on, but I see it now. God was showing me that stuff way back then. I was seeing her spirit, whereas you... I was seeing it, like, they ain't got no money. You saw it too. They ain't gonna get up. She was in there. They ain't gonna get this no money. They ain't got no money. They can't do nothing. And ended up with the loan.
How many square feet?
3,200.
First house.
Ended up with the loan. 60 grand. That's a lot. $70,000. I don't know why I keep saying 60. $70,000. And then they kept telling me, "I'm going to stay with this for a while. I don't even care if I get to the other part. I'm staying with this." Then they turned around and told me, "Man, you can't build this house for no $70,000. That's what they told me. I said, "I'm going to show you I can. Watch this." They said they didn't really want to give it to us because you can't build a house for 70 grand. I said, "You'll see." Went out there and got that loan, started digging my own footings. See, they didn't know what I knew. Money saved. I ain't paid nothing for digging my footing. Poured my own footing, money saved. I ain't paid nothing for pouring my own footing. Laying my own block, money saved. Because I'm the blocker, B. Lay my own block. Huh? All those different things. Got it now, got my frame out there. Met a good friend in the union I used to work with a plumber. He said, "Man, I plumb your house about an hour. Money saved. No contract on there."
Amen.
Electrician, friend of mine, I knew him. He said, "I wire your house about an hour." Clarence Montgomery. Money saved. Didn't cost me money there. Come to painting. Money saved. Me and mama painted. Insulation. Money saved. Itching all night from insulation. Well, money saved, because we insulated our own house. I had my electrician pull all my wiring beat, pull about an hour, got it all pulled. I said, "I'll hook it up." Hooked all my own power up, money saved. See, the bank didn't know what I knew.
Exactly.
Exactly. I knew something.
Exactly.
I did it less than 70. 69,000. You know what they told me here about a month ago? About the appraisal of it? What was the appraisal they gave me? This last one, Enzo looked at. It don't matter what it is.
Okay, when the appraisal come through, because they send you that little thing, you know, they had it was at $386,000. That's what the house was at. But
okay, today, go ahead.
But then when we talked to, and also with Jim and the what's called, because of the square footage, the what's called went up on the house now.
It pushed me over $500,000. That's what it pushed me at now. And you know what? I don't want a dime on it. It's mine. I don't want a dime on it. But I took something that man would think was impossible. You know, you can't do that. You can't build no house for no $60,000. You can't build no house for no $70,000. That's what man was saying. But God said otherwise. God said you can do it by faith, by working the principle, doing what you got to do. Now, I was listening to what when he was guiding me. I was listening to what he said. I had just come back from out of town. I was in Boston, Massachusetts working. I just came back from Boston in 1988. I went to work on my house. And in 1989, I was working for W. Clark when I got back here in Arkansas. And I said, I can't work no more. He said, why you can't work no more? You remember what I did? I quit. I said, I got to build my house. And I stopped working. And I worked on that house. And I got that house built. A lot of sacrifice. I built the house for 7 months, six, 7 months. And I remember it was rough. We staying in Southwest Little Rock, Louis Townhouse Apartments. I was big time then having a condo, like, you know. I thought I was living like, you know, every young kid come right out the country, got your apartment, man. I come from down, T, know what I'm talking about? I come from down there in the country, man. I was living large. Had me upstairs in a downstairs bathroom, a little two-bedroom place, but I was living good, Walter. And so anyway, I was there at that apartment, that townhouse, and we was working on our property. I work in the daytime, and Laura come out after she get off. We work at night, and I think we used to work up to about 12:30, 1 o'clock at night doing stuff. And we'd take the, we didn't have them but the boys then. Dump was a little bitty thing, and Kendrick. So they would be out there on little pallets sleeping while we working. But the thing, the point what God was showing me, if you have a desire to do something, and especially when he show you something, by all means, get on it. And it was a good desire. And when you got that desire from God, and he show you something, get on it. Don't let nothing deter you. Don't let nobody say that you can't, because people are always going to try to deter you or turn you from what God said that you can and can't do. You can do it. You know, and I'm saying that the sky's the limit, and God has just studied doing things. I tell my kids all the time, if we're in the office, I say, I don't fret for nothing. I say, if I don't get it, it wasn't for me. Move on to the next one. If I miss a bid, I won't go crying. Move to the next one. There's another one coming. Ain't that what I say? Move to the next one. I'm not going to sit there and mope over it. And God just studied doing good for me and elevation and showing me different things and direction and what to do and what not to do. But you got to be listening. You got to listen to him, because he will talk to you. But you got to be listening. And when he tell you to do something, by all means, you got to get up and get on it. You can't just mess around.
Huh? You say y'all turn it down, bids now? At some point, what some people saying, come work for me? And
well, we've had a lot of jobs that people are calling us that we don't even bid them. We bid what we want to bid. Right. That's what we are, you know.
Yeah, I got a mic. Now, so I was just saying that I thought you had shared some time ago where God has blessed you so.
Oh yeah,
the point to where you can't take any more work.
We are to that point now where and a lot of that is because of the way the market is now. You don't find nobody want to work. That's one of the reasons we kind of downsized. And we found out as I meditated those things, as I watched God and I listened to Him, when God had told us the downside. Remember, He said downside. When I downsized, we downsized, our finances went out the roof. I mean, didn't it go? I mean, when I was, and He told me, He said, in which my desires always work the field. I thought I wanted to be out of the field when I got hurt, but I was miserable. So I said, I need to go back to the field. And I went back to the field that we come from doing 7% and 8% up to 25% and 30%. It's a job where we're doing 50%. Then we just do one with over 50%, 60%. I mean, that's a tremendous change. Well, that is when I'm talking about the percentage of our profit and overhead. When we are, it's like we did a job down in Lona. We did what was that contract? About a million dollar contract. We did 7% of it, 7% of $1 million, like $70,000. All right, then we turn around. Which one we did this 50% on? Y'all know I don't deal with that part. Get the mic. They put me out there to be. I don't keep up with that. They just tell me about it when I get back. Yeah.
It's kind of like on friendship.
Friendship. Per se. Just that's a school we did in Pine Bluff.
What was it about? It's maybe a little more than that. It might have been around 220.
Just give me some numbers.
But anyway, just say 220, but we profited 50% of that.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Like 200,000, make $100,000 off it. You know, so those are the kind of things that that if you pay attention and do, if you follow with the leading and the prompting, and when God was showing me different things, then we go with it. And that's even when we are bidding, when we are putting numbers together, we do that same thing. We'll come together and get in the conference room, and me, Dump, Kendrick, and Kristen, and Laura, and we'll look at different things, and we'll figure what we need to be. And we'll look at and like I hear, they ask me questions, I said, no, let's go this route. This route we need to go, you know. And so when you get the promptings of God and let Him lead you, you know, you benefit from it. Just follow me. And that's all we do. Just follow and hear. You got to be listening, though, and paying attention. That's one of the main things. You got to be paying attention, because when God first told me, and I'm going to close on this one, when He told me, what year did we combine the units? Y'all might need to get the mic, I can't remember that. Though.
Okay, we moved into the building on
2018. I ain't talking about the building.
I'm trying to.
Okay.
Okay. I'm thinking it was 2019 when we combined the loans, combined all equipment. Wasn't it 2019?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe so. Okay, they know better than I do. Well, how long have you been paid off? A year?
Yeah, I think it's beginning of the year, first of the year.
All I know is that when we had these loans.
There's several loans.
Yeah. Now explain it. Get your mic and explain it. Y'all know more about it than I do. I'm just going to expound on what God did and how He did it.
The equipment that we use is very costly.
Yes.
You know, some of the scaffolding, you know, we don't work off of scaffolding frames you see in a residential market, because a lot of the jobs that we perform on, you got to think we're 40, 50, 60, even 100 feet high. So we got motorized scaffolding platforms, and let's just say one scaffolding setup that's 64 feet long, you know, you'll spend $100,000 for one set. And so we had several different loans out there, and you're paying different interest rates, because each time you buy a piece of equipment that you finance through a bank, you get what the market interest rate is at that time. So it may vary. You may have 3% on this one, you may have 7% on this one, you may have 4 or 5% on the next one. But that, it came to him, the way you kill this debt is to consolidate everything underneath one loan. And that's where we went.
Exactly. But that was a prompting. What I just heard the Lord say, put this thing under one cap, kill your debt. You can kill that debt if you put it up under one cap. Rather than having a 1,800 payment here, a 2,000 payment there, a 3,000 payment there, which I end up being around almost $5,000, $6,000 a month. God said, well, you kill that thing. And I think we had over $300,000 on it, somewhere like that. We were around $300,000. And so I called my banker. He come to the office and I said, hey, man, let's do this. I rapped to him a little bit. I said, I want to do this. He said, ain't no problem, Mr. Freeman. It ain't good when your bankers will come to you. I like that. Make you feel important, B. They come to you and they even bring you donuts and stuff. Bring you lunch. Bring you dinner. You know, and so anyway, he come there and he said, sure, we can do that. There ain't going to be no problem. We'll get this thing done for you. And no problem. And he came back went done all the paperwork and came back to him. He said, "Woo, man," he was excited too. Boy, he was so excited. And he was like, man, I'm really done y'all a favor. Man, I got y'all payments down. What was the payment down? We were paying like, what, $5,000, $5,500 a month. He got a payment down to what, like $1,800? Wasn't something like that? He said, I got your payment down to $1,800 a month. Boy, he was excited about it. I looked at him. I said, boy, I sure appreciate it. He said, man, I know I could have done it. I said, you did a good job. I said, keep paying $5,000. And he kept paying that $5,000. I kept that debt in less than 2 years. And it's free. I'm hoping I ain't sounding braggadocious, but I'm saying this because I was listening and hearing what God is saying to me. As he led me, I walked with him, you know, and walking with God is a daily thing. Mm-hmm. He'll guide you all, every step of the way, but you got to walk with him. Amen. And follow him. You had someone?
No, I was just going to say, the last time you talked about that, because you say, Lord, I said, you're bragging. He said, no, I'm just
those facts.
Telling what God did as you followed him, which is what's all taking place now.
Yeah.
And see, as you said, you know, you consolidate them, you see. And so because of how the Lord pushed us out, mm-hmm. I had to pay all the cards off in 19. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't have a debt but the house. But God said, help this person, help that person. So like I told you, okay, we got the car paid for, we got work for your soul. And now I said, now we're going to consolidate like you did. Mm-hmm. And so I've got 4 or 5 letters and so forth. But all of that is to show us his love for us so somebody else can be blessed as they follow, imitate what you did. Mm-hmm. See, so your testimony and how God worked through you is helping others that we might never know, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but no, it's telling how to follow God. And as you say, now you know it's a word of wisdom. It was a word of knowledge mm-hmm. and all the other things that he's been doing all the time. Even when you wasn't going to church.
Yeah.
Not just in a traditional church, but not going to church at all. And still, the gifts of the Spirit were working in your life. You just didn't know it until you look back.
Mm-hmm. Told you, didn't I? But really, and I'm telling you, that is so powerful to be able to listen to our Father as he directs us. Because I'm telling you, he's talking constantly. He's talking constantly. Because he wants the best for us.
Amen.
That's why he talked to us. He wants the best for us.
Amen.
And that's why I often make that statement that, and that's why I told Laura that time, I said, honey, I'm not bragging. She said, well, you know, it kind of can come across bragging, but they may be way they may perceive it, but I know how I'm giving it. It's not the way they may perceive it, not to be bragging. It's not. And I'm going to say this and I'm done. It's something that the Lord told me a long time ago. He said, get yourself in position. Remember that? Get yourself in position because you never know who you're going to have to help, who needs you.
That's
why he said, get yourself in position. And so when he's, I'm laughing at Candace right now. She messes with me all the time. You get yourself in position because you never know who's going to need you. And one other statement that I heard is that everything that you got is not just for you. I heard that. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us today. Worship at Rice Memorial begins with Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., followed by praise and worship at 10:45. And on Wednesday nights, we have Bible study from 7 to 8 p.m. Children's Church is also available, where they can receive the Word of God on their level. Once again, don't forget to like, subscribe, and hit your notification button to get new messages on a regular basis. You can also like us on Facebook and visit our webpage at ricememorialbaptistchurch.org. Rice Memorial is located at 15th and State in Little Rock, but for the time being, we're worshiping at City Church in College Station, Arkansas. Thanks again for tuning in.